On the air at News Radio 1070 WKOK and online at WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunrise.
Is fabulosity proven over and over again? That's Rob Center, our great producer on the other side of the glass, so we appreciate his help and hard work. He's done such a fantastic job. This week, we're going to give him the whole next week off, so he gets to enjoy some PTO, as we call it, up here. In the studio with us now, movie Mike McGranahan is here, professional movie critic. His website, aisleseat.com, prolific tweeter, and he has got, well, first of all, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. And you have a review of Violent Night. Please.
In Violent Night, David Harbour plays a version of Santa Claus we've never seen before. Fed up with the job, he's become angry and vulgar, and he prefers to mix his cookies with booze rather than milk. He gets an outlet for his pent-up rage after arriving at the home of a super-rich family that's being robbed and held hostage by a criminal gang led by John Leguizamo. Consequently, a little girl is in danger. Santa decides that a lump of coal is too good for these lowlifes, so he decides to leave an old-fashioned butt-kicking under their tree instead. That's Violent Night in a nutshell. It gives us a series of scenes in which Santa Claus slays bad guys in hilariously bloody ways. He pulls weapons out of his magic sack and uses items like tree toppers and Christmas stockings to take down his enemies. The movie works because the whole tone is tongue-in-cheek. It's filled with humorous dialogue and exaggerated, over-the-top violence. As Santa, David Harbour gives a wonderfully demented performance, guaranteed to make you go ho ho ho. Obviously, there's no depth here, but Violent Night is the perfect anecdote if those sappy Hallmark Christmas movies aren't your thing. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 3 reindeer.
But the sappy Hallmark movies are my thing, so.
Well, then you won't like this one.
No, actually, I saw the trailer. It looks perfectly funny and, you know, just good enough for that mindless pre-holiday movie watching that we seem to enjoy this time of year.
Mindless. I mean, that's a pretty good word for it. It's just a movie where you go in and you watch Santa Claus beat the stuffing out of a bunch of bad guys.
Okay.
And there's a lot of humorous dialogue in it, and the performances are good. So it's just, you turn your brain off and go in and sit down and have a good time.
Well, and Santa's supernatural, so there's some scenes where his supernaturalosity wears out.
Right.
You know, it's not just like, what was that movie, Nobody, where the normal guy just beats the tar out of people.
Right.
It just really bloodies them up. But this is, it's sort of tongue in cheek, as you say.
Very much.
Just in theaters?
Just in theaters, yes.
Could this become a franchise? Santa takes on the gangs next year and so on?
It could. I mean, David Harbour is so good in this role and so funny. I'd be willing to see him in a sequel.
And I've seen him where elsewhere?
He's one of those character actors, although he's been in a million things, but he's gained a little more fame lately for being on the TV show Stranger Things. He was also in the Black Widow movie, so he's part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. One of those guys that you've seen a million times in movies, and maybe you didn't know his name, but you always know his face.
Yeah, I didn't recognize. Well, actually, with all the Santa makeup on, he's portraying Santa.
Right.
He's unrecognizable as somebody I saw before.
Yeah.
I tried to pick out who he was. I couldn't think of him. So, okay, so three reindeer. Okay, so that's not too bad. Yeah, one scene on the rooftop in the trailer is funny, so we'll let people see that one.
It is. It's a very funny movie. I laughed a lot.
And that comes. I like your pun, who he slays the bad guys.
I didn't know if anybody got that or not. I'm glad did.
I got bad pun detector going off in here. So, all right, good for you. Thank you. All right, a mini review of the newest Pinocchio that is it for kids or not? Or how does that go?
That is an interesting question. It is rated PG, but it's really aimed more at adults than at kids. It debuts on Netflix today, and it's the new animated version. It's done all with stop-motion animation, directed by Guillermo del Toro, the Oscar-winning director of The Shape of Water. He also did Pan's Labyrinth and Hellboy. And it's very much a Guillermo del Toro version of Pinocchio. It's filled with Catholic imagery and anti-fascism themes.
Okay.
It's beautiful to look at. It's very original. He takes some liberties with the story that are kind of odd. You know, in the most versions of Pinocchio, at one point he goes to Pleasure Island with all the kids, and it's sort of this hedonistic playground. In this version, he gets recruited against his will into Mussolini's army and has to get out of it. So it's PG, but it's really more for adults than kids. For me, this movie worked as a vision. I love Guillermo del Toro's work. It was interesting to see him take on a classic tale like Pinocchio and bring his own style to it. I'm not sure everything story-wise quite holds together, but I think it is worth a look because it's on Netflix. If you have a subscription, you don't have to pay to see it. So 3 stars for Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio.
Okay, so that's in Netflix. And Violent Night is at the movie theater, right?
At the theaters, yes. So, and I should add that del Toro's Pinocchio is way better than Robert Zemeckis' Pinocchio with Tom Hanks that we just had like 2 months ago. It's weird to have two Oscar-winning directors doing their own separate versions of Pinocchio in the same year, but that's what's happened. And if you're going to see one of them, Guillermo del Toro is the one to see.
It's the superior one. Okay, so that's on Netflix. Speaking of Netflix, are you talking about it's a documentary about the royal family, Meghan and Harry?
Oh, really? They have
Yes, it's on Netflix. Yeah, it's kind of being talked about for people who follow the royals. It's all the news, but if you don't, it isn't a movie. And I'm not sure a documentary is the right. It's just sort of a cobbled together interview. It's more of a prolonged interview about how they've been mistreated over the years, primarily by the media. So we can talk about that another day. Okay, entertainment news. The death of Kirstie Alley. I added that to your list because I think she was such a tour de force in entertainment.
She was. She passed away very unexpectedly this week. I don't think most people knew she was ill. And certainly someone who had great comic timing. She did a lot of movies. Of course, she was notable for coming on to Cheers and replacing Shelley Long, which was not easy because that show was very popular. The chemistry between Ted Danson and Shelley Long was great. She had to come in and try to form her own chemistry and fit into this ensemble cast that was already established, and she did a great job of that. So it was very sad that she left us. She was a little controversial in her last couple years here on social media. You know, she was very much an anti-vaccination person when it came to COVID. That irritated some of her fans, got some of her fans angry. But, you know, leaving all of that stuff aside, she was a very talented woman, and her presence in film and television will definitely be felt.
Okay, yeah, and I don't pay attention to any of that sort of thing, so that didn't bother me. And so, yeah, and it was interesting when they played the clips of her in Cheers in particular, and also some movie clips. Just a super actress, too. I mean, she really was able to adapt to roles fast and to do a good job. So,
yeah,
really,
and that, again, that comic timing, she knew how to drop a one-liner.
Okay. Drew Barrymore wants to remake Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I wouldn't even know why you would bother, but I guess you might make some money from it. So,
well, that's the issue. She came out this week and says that she is trying to develop a remake of that classic Steve Martin, John Candy movie that will star her and Cameron Diaz. Now, I have 3 thoughts. I love Drew Barrymore. I love Cameron Diaz. And no one should ever remake Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. It's a perfect comedy. You will never do it anywhere near as good as they did it. I think this is a terrible idea. I hope they give it up and go and make something original. You know, people need to stop remaking movies that are already great. You're not going to approach that. Go and make something new.
Right, and thanks to streaming, films that were classic that you couldn't really see all that often are just all out there in plain sight and being talked about. I mean, if you and I wanted to right now, what's the app you talk about?
Just Watch.
Yeah, Just Watch. You put in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. It tells you all the different platforms that are running it, if it's at a particular time when you have to go to it, or if it's on demand, how to go about it. So, yeah, and that's a classic thing, especially for some reason, I always think of classic comedies as being more worthy of this, you know, this resurgence in popularity of old things. So, all right, so no 4 stars from you for remaking Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Well, and also, if she wants to work, and if she wants to work with Cameron Diaz, holy smokes, there's got to be a vehicle that'll really stretch their talents. And
definitely. They could come up with something more original than a remake.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. I'm worried about Wonder Woman 3. I'm not sure I saw Wonder Woman 2 yet, but I certainly love the first one. What's up here with 3?
Warner Brothers has canceled Wonder Woman 3, and there's apparently a big shakeup. The film's director-writer, Patty Jenkins, had a treatment for what she wanted to do in the third installment, and Warner Brothers and DC are going through this whole big change-up. They brought in director James Gunn and another guy to kind of take over the DC cinematic universe to make it more like Marvel, where it crosses seamlessly between movies and TV shows and all that. And apparently the studio people didn't really like her treatment, didn't think it fit into what they wanted to do, so she walked, and now they have officially canceled Wonder Woman 3. So it remains to be seen whether Gal Gadot will appear as Wonder Woman in some other capacity or whether they'll do something different with Wonder Woman. But as of right now, she's kind of off the table.
Oh, and what's your reaction to that? What if it never gets done? I mean, it's a strong franchise at the box office, right?
The first one was a huge hit. The second one came out during that period of the pandemic where people weren't really going to the movies, and it debuted on HBO Max at the same time it was in theater. So it did not make as much money, but that was more product of the time as opposed to the film itself. So I was actually a big fan of Wonder Woman 84. I know some people didn't like it as much as the first one. I did. I would have been curious to see what they would do with the third one. I'm kind of disappointed to hear that they're not going to follow through.
Particularly with a bold treatment of some forms.
Yeah, I mean, whatever she wanted to do, I'm sure was interesting.
So, well, maybe, and no one else can do it, right? I mean, Warner owns it, and that's the end of that. Okay, so we just have to wait and see if they get that resolved. What are you going to see this week, Mike? What's on your agenda?
I'm going to be getting an advanced screening of a couple big holiday movies, A Man Called Otto with Tom Hanks and the Puss in Boots sequel, The Last Wish. I'm seeing both of those this weekend.
All right, fabulous. Well, we'll look forward to your review either online, aisleseat.com, or on Twitter. You send out the bulletins as soon as you are done, and of course, we'll invite you to bring your great reviews to the studio. You have one more review this month, next Friday, and then on the 23rd and 30th, we'll be enjoying some best ofs around here. So we'll look for that. Thank you so much, Movie Mike.